Luke, we're so happy to have you with us. Our grandson, Luke Waldrop, is going to come preach. Proclaim God's word. Let's pray much as he preaches.
It is always an honor to come back to Fletcher. We'll find the reading tonight in Matthew chapter number 24. The book of Matthew, chapter number 24. And when you found your place, if you'd please stand for the reverence of the reading of God's word. The book of Matthew, chapter number 24, and verse number 42. The Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." I want to preach on this thought. You're running out of time. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, God, just to get to call upon your name one more time. Lord, I thank you, God, for the ability, God, to get to proclaim your word. God, we're unworthy, God, to get to stand before your people. God, I pray this tonight, God, Lord, that you'd help us, God, to preach your word, God. Lord, you'd help us to speak fluently, God, the words that you'd have us to say, God. Lord, that it wouldn't be my words, God, but it'd be your words, God, coming out. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that this would resonate in the hearts and the minds of your people, God. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's one that's here that's lost, God, or one that's listening online, God, Lord, that you'd save them, God, before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray tonight, God, that you would just show us, God, your Holy Spirit tonight. God, that you'd give us the Holy Spirit power that you possess, God. Lord, we realize that the power does not come from mankind, God, but the power comes from you. And so, God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would be honored, God, and God, that you'd get the glory, and Lord, that you'd get praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder tonight, are you ready for Jesus to come? And are you looking for Jesus to come? I want to look firstly that there's a danger. And you may say, preacher, why is there a danger that Jesus is coming? It's going to be the glorious thing that Jesus is going to come. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a danger for the lost man. There is a danger that the lost man will be left here on earth behind. There is a danger that he will be left behind and that he will eventually go into a devil's hell. There is a danger for the lost man. There is also a danger for the saved man. There is a danger that your loved ones could be left here on earth. There is a danger that your loved ones could be left behind. I think that in the book of Matthew chapter number 24, while we're here, while we're close, the Bible says in verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." He said, when the times get as the times of Noah's day. I want to tell you tonight that in Noah's day, every man was doing according to their own mind. Whatever their mind thought was good, they were doing it. They did not see no wrong with the wickedness of their lifestyle that they were living and they were doing and flaunting their sin before the eyes of Almighty God. I'd have you to know tonight that America is in the same state. The other countries around this world are in the same state. They are flaunting their sin amongst an Almighty God. The stench of sin is going into the nostrils of an Almighty God. I think about in the Luke chapter number 17, it talks about the days of Lot. Luke chapter number 17, it says, in Luke chapter number 17. I'll give you time to turn over there. It says, it's a parallel passage in verse 26. It says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until that day, until that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is coming back, and it's inevitable that Jesus is going to return. We can see the signs of the time. We can see that mankind is back to the state that they were once in back then. Mankind is still sinning, and it's going up into the nostrils of an almighty God, and he is fixing to send his son back so that he can judge those that remain. And so there is a danger for the lost man, and there is a danger for the saved man, because we do not want our loved ones to be left here on this earth when everything breaks out. The Bible says that there'll be wars. There's nation versus nation, kingdom versus kingdom in the last days when Jesus will come. I'll tell you tonight, we are in those times. Nation is against nation. Wars are going on. Wars that aren't even known are going on. I want to see, secondly, that there is a deceiver. The devil is the deceiver, and he is looking to deceive whoever he can about Jesus is coming back. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is looking to deceive you into believing a lie. The devil is looking to devour. And I want to tell you tonight, if there was a lion that was outside right now, you would not be going to your car after this service is over. Somebody came in and said, "Hey, there is a lion roaming about outside, and it's hungry, and it's looking for people." You would not walk outside. But yet, every day we walk through our lives, and we toy with sin, and we walk about, and we let our kids go off and do whatever, knowing that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And yet we do not even heed the caution that the devil is a roaring lion. We do not heed the caution that the devil is looking to devour. He's looking to devour you and your family. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It says that in John 10:10. It says the thief is come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That thief is the devil. He is looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And it says, "And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I tell you tonight that Jesus is come so that we can have life. But on the opposite side, there's a deceiver, and his name is Satan, and he's looking to devour you. He wants you to quit praying. He wants you to quit singing. If he can get you down, he knows that he can get others down. He wants people to stop being invited to church, and little by little, if people stop getting the invitation to church, soon the church will fade away. If the parents stop coming to the church, then the kids won't come to the church. And once the parents die, there's no kids because they've never been introduced to church. So the church will just die out. That's what the devil, his desire is to do. He wants to give people excuses for why not they should not go to church. He wants to give people excuses why they should not go out and tell someone about Jesus. He wants to give people excuses about why you should not just hand out a tract or post up a poster about Jesus through our public. He wants to make up excuses for you to not do that so that others will not come to know Jesus. He's okay that you know Jesus just as long as nobody else gets to know Jesus. He is a deceiver. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy the youth of this church. He wants to destroy the church that is the church. He wants to destroy all the churches that make up the body of Christ. And he wants to destroy the youth therein. The devil knows that if he can steal your joy, and if he can kill the testimony of the church, that he can destroy the church, because he knows that no one will want to come to a church that doesn't have a good testimony. So he's going to do all he can to try to deceive and to devour the church. Saved person, the devil wants to steal your joy from you. The devil, he wants to kill your testimony that you have. The devil wants to destroy your life. The devil does not like you, and the devil is not playing fair. He is playing to win, but we know that in the end that he will not win, but yet he's still going to try to take whoever he possibly can. Lost person, the devil, he wants to kill you. He wants nothing more than to see you in hell with him. He wants nothing more than to see you in a place with his fallen angels. He wants nothing more than that. He wants to fool you. He wants to devour you. He wants you to believe a lie. The Bible says in John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I tell you tonight that the devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a devourer, and he is dangerous. He is not somebody to play with. You do not want to play around with the devil. When you start playing around with the devil, he'll get you every time. He'll get you every time. See, thirdly, that there is a destination. For the saved person, we see the destination is heaven. For the saved, if you called on Jesus as your redeemer, if you believed in Jesus to be your savior, you will be taken up into heaven when Jesus comes back. Or if you die before Jesus comes back, you will be taken into heaven. The saved, if you were to die tonight, you will go on to live eternally with God. If you turn over with me in the book of Revelations, chapter number 21, the book of Revelations, chapter number 21. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, chapter number 21 and verse 1, this is John speaking. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I tell you tonight that heaven is going to be a wonderful and glorious place. I cannot wait myself to get to go to that heavenly home called heaven. To get to see New Jerusalem coming down. To get to see Jesus himself. To get to see my loved ones that's gone on the other side. Each and every one of you, you have loved ones that have gone on the other side. And we cannot wait to get to be back with them again. It says that God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. There'll be no more crying. It says that there'll be no more death. It says that there'll be no more sorrow. It says that there'll be no more crime. Oh, it says that neither shall there be any more pain. I'll tell you tonight, there will be no more cancer in heaven. There will be no more COVID in heaven. There will be no more diseases in heaven. The cripple shall walk. The deaf shall hear. The people that can't talk, they'll be able to speak. I tell you tonight, when you get up there, the cripple, they're going to be running down the streets of gold. They're going to be shouting the songs of Jesus. They're going to be praising his name. And I personally cannot wait to get to go that day and be part of that wonderful day. I cannot wait. How beautiful heaven is. If we keep going in chapter 21 of Revelations, in verse number 21, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I tell you tonight, I'm glad that I am written down in that Lamb's book of life, that I'm going to get to go to a city that has 12 gates and 12 pearls, that every single gate was one pearl. I'm glad that I get to go to a city that has streets paved of gold, as if it were transparent glass. I'm glad that I get to go to a city that they don't need no sun and they don't need no moon, because Jesus, God Almighty, lights that place. And I can't wait to get to see my Savior face to face and get to just tell Him how much I love Him, and get to tell Him how much I appreciate Him. I get to tell Him how much I appreciate that He saved my soul, that He went to Calvary, and that He died in my place. He took on my sin, and He's coming back again, and I'm thankful for that. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad I get to go to that wonderful home. If you're glad tonight that you get to go to that wonderful city, say amen. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, on the contrary, there's an awful place for the lost. And it's a place called hell. For the lost, this destination is hell. When Jesus comes back, all the lost, they'll be left here to live on this earth during the tribulation. They're going to be deceived by the Antichrist and by the devil. For the lost man, if you were to die tonight, you would go to hell. If you died this very moment, you'd spend eternity in hell. I think about the rich man mentioned in Luke chapter number 16. In Luke chapter number 16, the Bible says in verse number 19, in Luke chapter 16, verse number 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou, in thy lifetime, receivest meet thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." I tell you tonight, hell is a place of suffering and torment. It's not a place of partying like pop culture and music make it out to be. They talk about how fun hell's going to be when they get to see their buddies. I tell you tonight, it's not that place. Their place is make-believe. But the place that Jesus is referencing here in the Bible is a real place, a real story. This is not a parable. This is a true story that Jesus told about a rich man that went into hell. And we do know that hell is suffering and torment. I think of the sounds of hell, that there'll be only screaming and anguish there. I think of that there's a side of hell, that it's a place of outer darkness, a place cast away from God Almighty, a place of darkness where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. I think of the society that's there in hell. I wonder, have you ever thought of the people that are in hell tonight? Have you ever really thought about who could be there right now as we speak? I think Adolf Hitler. Hell is the prison house of this universe. Adolf Hitler, he's probably there. Murderers, hypocrites, drunkards, thieves, you name it. Hell is that eternal home for those people. Nobody special. Hell is just for you. It's people of all types of classes. It's not a respecter of persons. Hell is for everyone. I think about how the Bible says that it was made lower than the angels. Jesus said that hell was originally prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. And it was not meant for us to be there. But sin entered this world And that was the only option for us to go if we did not find our redemption in Jesus. I tell you tonight, in hell, you'd be ruled over by Satan and his evil forces. You'll be inferior to the supernatural forces of evil. Your new home, it'll be made up of demons, of fallen angels, of principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness, and even Satan himself. You will be at the bottom of the guest list. If you go to hell, you will no doubt feel very much out of place there. And you will be there forever. That is where you will be. I think next of the suddenness of hell. When you die, you go immediately to that place. There is no purgatory that some versions of religion may claim. There is no waiting room to get in there. It's just like that. The snap of a finger, the blink of an eye, and you'll be there. One breath away. Immediately. I think next that there's a shame of hell. Preacher, what is the shame of hell? The fact that you didn't even have to go. The fact that you didn't even have to go. That you had opportunity after opportunity to make things right. You had opportunity after opportunity to call on Jesus to save you. And I believe that in hell, you'll remember the night that Jesus knocked on your heart's door. I believe that in hell, you will remember the time that you said no for the final time. That you will be there for eternity. And that your mind will remember that forever and ever. And then you'll think back to your loved ones that might have followed down your footsteps, that might be on their way there as well. How horrifying. The rich man, he said, "Father Abraham, let me out so that I can go tell my brothers, or go tell them yourself so that they will not come to this place." But it was always too late. It was already too late. He had no opportunity to tell his loved ones not to come to that place. Mark 9, it says, "Where their worm dieth not." That's your mind. Your mind dieth not. Your hell is a place of foreverness. Fourthly and lastly, we see next there is a decision. Safe person, there is a decision to be made. Are you going to tell others about Christ? Are you going to sit on the couch of do nothing? Or are you going to go out and spread God's word? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, it says, "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It is your reasonable service to tell others about God. It's your reasonable service to live for God. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." It is our job and our duty to tell others about a place that they don't have to go, and about a Jesus that can save their soul, about a Jesus that can change everything in their life. It is our responsibility to do that. Lost person, there's a decision to be made. If you're here tonight, if you're watching online, there's a decision to be made. Are you going to reject Christ, or are you going to accept Christ? No one whoever is in hell will be able to say, "God, you put me here." And no one in heaven will be able to say, "I got myself here." Because in hell, you put yourself there. God does not put you there. God loves you. God sent his son for you. But when you reject Jesus, that's where you go. You made your decision, and now you have to live with it for eternity. And no one in heaven can say, "By my righteousness I got there," because our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Our righteousness will get us nowhere but into a devil's hell. I tell you tonight that we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot get to heaven by our works. You must call on the name of Jesus Christ to save your sin-sick soul to go to heaven. I think about Noah. It says that God, he shut the ark. Noah did not shut the ark. Noah's wife did not shut the ark. Noah's sons did not shut the ark. Nobody else shut the ark. It says God shut the ark. Once God shut the ark, there was no opening the ark. When God shuts the door to heaven, there is no opening that door to heaven. There is no opening what God has shut. Once it's too late, it's too late. I think of Esau. He sold his birthright for some pottage. The birthright is spiritual. That birthright was his spiritual side that he sold for pottage. He sold it for material things. And there are people all across this nation that is selling out on Jesus. They're selling their chance on Jesus for materialistic type of things. They're living for today and not living for eternity. They're living for the moment and not even thinking about what's on the other side. They're not even thinking about what is waiting them. I think how King Agrippa, Paul was preaching to him, and he said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. But almost is not good enough to get you into heaven. I think about how the rich young ruler, he lived a good life. He had a good heritage. He even was able to keep the first 5 commandments. But yet, he couldn't come to grips when Jesus said, "Sell all thy goods and take up your cross and follow me." Instead, the rich young ruler went back out into the world living for himself. He could not get to grips with losing his possessions for gaining Jesus. I tell you tonight, gaining Jesus is the best thing that you will ever do upon this earth. Living for Jesus is the best thing that you can possibly do. I tell you tonight, it is not about who your mom is. It is not about who your dad is. It is not about how much money you have. I think about when you walk through a graveyard, it'll say, "Here lies so-and-so." And it says, "They lived a good life, left behind a family, blah, 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 blah." It doesn't say how much money they had in the bank. It's never recorded on a tombstone they had such and such money. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. Because you're just going to leave it behind. The rich young ruler, he did not follow Jesus because he didn't want to leave his money behind, but yet he can't take it with him where he goes. He's going to go into the bottomless pit. I tell you tonight, it's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood of the Lamb. I think about there was this girl. She was in a church service, much like this. The Holy Spirit was working. The Holy Spirit was moving. She was sitting near the back. And they gave the invitation. And she started to get out. And the preacher said, "Yeah, that's right. Come on. Come on." But instead, she turned and ran for the door. And she hit the door and tried to make it out, but she couldn't. And then she hit the door again, and she still couldn't get out. And then she hit the door again, and she still couldn't get out. She was able to see that there was a little latch that she could just fit her fingers through. And she fit her fingers through and slipped her body through. And when she got out to the other side, she fell in the parking lot. And she started screaming. And she said, "God has left me. God has left me." You see, she sold that chance. She tried to get away, and God left her, never to be spoken to from God again. She rejected Jesus. Some months later, the preacher came back to that town to preach revival. And he was told by the pastor that that young girl was up in the mental asylum. So he went over there to see her. And it was a shell of what she used to be. Once she was beautiful, and now her fingernails were gnawed off. Her hair all stringy. And she was there in a straitjacket. And he looked at her and she said, "Preacher, are you going to that church tonight?" He said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Tell them not to end up like me. I have nowhere to go but to hell." She said, "God left me." And go tell them people that. God help. She sat in a church service and she ran away from God and God left her. This could be your last chance tonight to get it right. If you're here, if you're watching online, it could be your last chance. I tell you, this could be your last opportunity to tell someone in your family, to tell someone that works with you. It could be your last time that you have the chance to spread the witness of Jesus Christ to somebody. It could be the last time. Life is but a vapor. Life is so short. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. We do not know what the next 5 seconds is going to hold. Jesus could come back right now. He could. Or somebody could fall over and die. A car wreck could happen on your way home. We're not promised a single second. We're only given what God allows us to have. I tell you tonight, you are running out of time. Fellow Christians, do not quit praying. Do not quit on God. Though trials get hard, those circumstances get hard, keep on running the race. I think about how Paul said that there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we run this race. I tell you tonight, over the banisters of glory, there are those cheering us on, saying, run, Christian, run. Run, Christian, run. Keep on the good fight. Keep on the good fight. Tell others about Jesus. Tell them about this wonderful place that we're in. But then on the other side, there's people in hell, and they're screaming out, tell people not to come here. Tell people not to come here. It's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. I tell you tonight, Jesus is coming back, and it very well could be tonight. It could be by the end of the year. It could be by next year. It could be 50 years off, but I wouldn't take the chance if I were you, because we are not promised another moment. If you would please stand, Pastor, if you would come.
Soon coming, but the question is, are you ready? Let's pray. Altars open. God spoke to hearts here tonight. Could be that you have loved ones that you know are lost, and we've not lived life before that we should have, but you got another opportunity to repent. Ask the Lord to give you another opportunity to speak to Him. But you may be here, you may be watching, and you may know about you. If the Lord were to come, you're not going to go to heaven because you've never bowed. You've never surrendered. Let's pray. Altar's open. People are coming. Please respond to the call of God from the man of God. We appreciate the message, Brother Luke. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can call you Lord. Lord, we do not realize the lateness of the hour. We've been told it tonight. Our minds can't comprehend, Father, because Satan is working and he is deceiving many. But Father, we know that you said in your word, when I return, will I find faith? And Lord, we're here tonight because we have faith. And I pray, Heavenly Father God, that the faith, Lord Jesus Christ, will give us that desire. And we're operating on your faith because it's you that gives the word of life. It's you that saves lost souls. The Holy Spirit draws, convicts. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And Lord, you were lifted up on Calvary. You were lifted up to the heavens. And you were lifted up through the word of God tonight, through the preached word, through the singing. And God, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. And the Holy Spirit's doing the work. All we have to do is accept. And I pray, Father, that anyone here that's not saved, just fall out of the pew and come and bow before an almighty God and ask forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere you provide tonight, for the holy hush you put on our congregation, for everything that's been said and done to glorify and honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father.